hello everyone, and welcome back to yet another weekly episode of the Amateur Naturalist Podcast, where we enjoy discussing nature, sometimes animals, sometimes plants, and sometimes just concepts about nature or what's found out there in the wild. Hey folks, this is Tommy, and I am your digital audio host of the Amateur Naturalist Podcast. Hey, today, believe it or not, it is episode number 37. And on today's episode, we are going to discuss the Tree of Heaven. And while it's very beautiful, it's also very, very invasive. It's a tree that's very invasive, that spreads very quickly, and can be very difficult to eradicate. So, believe it or not, I just started this podcast about nature 1 year ago, on August 21st, 2022. We were ending season number two with this episode, and next week we will begin rolling out season number three. Holy, holy cow, how time flies. Hey folks, we're getting back from another trip to Mexico last week, and we saw a lot of underwater conch shells and live conchs, of course, in the shells, and starfish. We saw some brown ones and some big, huge, beautiful red ones, and lots of fish were in the area of the second greatest reef in the entire world. Hey, we did some awesome snorkeling in Cozumel, Mexico, and we had some awesome food and drinks, of course, in the very, very hot Mexican summer. Hey, saw some very cool animals, and we are definitely thinking about talking about at least one of these animals in the coming weeks. You know, folks, our podcast, the Amateur Naturalist Podcast, is now listened to worldwide in 106 countries and in an absolutely amazing 2,121 cities around the world. Hey, I just wanted to say thank you to our brand new listeners in Valencia, California, and also in Spotsylvania, Virginia, also in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and Quintana Roo down in Mexico. Hey, thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast. Thank you to all of our wonderful listeners around the world, and thank you so very much for hitting that download button. And now on to this week's episode. Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to episode number 37 of the Amateur Naturalist Podcast, where you know we delve into the fascinating world of wildlife and ecosystems. Hey folks, I am your audio digital host, and today we are going to discuss a tree that is found pretty easily in the United States, but it also is a very, very invasive tree that takes over in some environments. In fact, in some states, the Tree of Heaven is completely banned from any importation, distribution, trade, and even for sale. Hey folks, the Tree of Heaven, you know, it's a really, really fast growing tree. It's a deciduous tree. It's got a tropical looking look to it, kind of tropical intrusive tree that is able to germinate and mature in a whole bunch in a wide variety of soil conditions and locations, proving that it's been and still is a very bothersome from urban landscapes all the way to forest. Now, you can actually grow really, really tall as far as a small tree goes. I mean, it can grow up to 75 to 90 feet tall, and it has become very established in most of the United States. I saw a grouping of them going down the highway the other day, and it was a group of those big, tall, 80, 90-foot trees, big ones, the biggest ones I've ever seen. The Tree of Heaven grows in a large variety of other environments, including, but not limited to, you know, like the edges of a lot around forest and openings, grassy fields. You see them a lot of the times along sides of the roads, and I see them all the time driving down highways. You see them in people's backyards, a lot of them in local city and national parks, agricultural fields and a lot of reclaimed surface mined lands. First one I ever saw was right on the edge of a couple of fields, kind of in the corner of two fields and a huge expanse of woods. And I thought, man, that is one of the prettiest trees I've ever seen. You know, folks, before we get too deep down into the story behind the Tree of Heaven, let's do what we always do, and let's talk about the biological classification, because we'll talk a lot about how highly invasive these trees are, and they've sprung up all over the place. But before we get into that story, let's talk about this tree's biological classification. Now, folks, of course, it's in the kingdom Plantae, and it's in the order Sapindales. It's in the family Samarubaceae. It's in the genus Aelanthus, and it's in the species Aelanthus altissima. In today's Amateur Naturalist podcast episode, we will delve deeply into the intriguing story of the Tree of Heaven. The Tree of Heaven is a pretty little deciduous tree with an absolutely fascinating story. Now, this tree originates from China, and it has become a very invasive species in many, many parts of the world, and especially including the United States. Join me today as I uncover the secrets of this beautiful, resilient, tenacious tree and very highly invasive tree. Now, to understand the Tree of Heaven, we need to start with its origins. You know, the tree is actually native to China, and it was admired for its elegant appearance and its medicinal properties over in China. Now, in the 18th century, the Tree of Heaven was introduced to the United States as a beautiful, people loved it. It was a beautiful ornamental plant, and later it was found its way into the urban environments. It was brought in by a lot of different folks. You know, the Tree of Heaven actually quickly established itself as a very fast-growing and adaptable species. And this tree, it can actually grow in a wide range of soil conditions, and it's really, really tolerant of pollution and urban environments. The tree's adaptability, unfortunately, it's led to its invasive nature. That's right. The Tree of Heaven's ability to actually spread rapidly, even through underground suckers, enables it to outcompete native vegetation. So by outcompeting native vegetation, it just grows like crazy. Its seeds, in fact, which can travel really long distances with the help of the wind, further contribute to its invasive behavior. So most of the time, folks, you can find the Tree of Heaven growing in like city environments, out of cracks in sidewalks and cracks in the pavement, actually. You might even find it in a lot of city parks. I've seen it in some city parks and kind of growing around the edges and growing alongside unkept buildings. And this tree will grow just about everywhere. It is a tree, like I said originally, it originated from China, and it was accidentally introduced way back in 1751 in France, and then in England by a missionary. From England, it was brought over because they thought it was a Japanese varnish tree. Then it was brought over to the United States as an exotic ornamental shade tree to be planted in people's backyards. Now, while the Tree of Heaven poses significant challenges as an invasive species, it does have some incredibly redeeming qualities. I know that in the past, its leaves and its bark has been used for medicinal purposes, and the tree also supports a lot of certain insect species. A lot of insects grow with the help of this tree, which in turn provide food for birds and other wildlife. So it's kind of like, you got a tree, it's got a lot of insects growing, a lot of birds eating on it, a lot of wildlife eating the birds, etc., etc., etc. It's kind of like the tree of life, right? People quickly started trading those tree of life seedlings and the tree of life seeds between people who wanted to make their yards look really, really beautiful. And they wanted to make their state parks and their national parks really beautiful. And they wanted to use these trees around towns and around their houses for shade trees. And they're beautiful. They're a great, fast-growing tree. After a while, even the United States Department of Agriculture started distributing the seeds of this tree to be planted around cities and private people's homes. And then back in the early 1900s, they didn't view imported foreign plants as invasive species, even if they were pest-like, as they spread and they spread and they spread and they choked out lots of other native plants. Now, unknowingly, our own United States Department of Agriculture was actually responsible for spreading several different types of plants along roadside projects over the many, many years as we were building highways that became very, very intrusive and invasive plants. Things such as, you know, these multiflora rose, they're kind of everywhere now. You see them all throughout city parks and woodlands, especially around the cities. Glossy buckhorn. How about this one? Kudzu. Drive in Kentucky as you get closer, a little southern towards the Tennessee state line, and you'll start seeing kudzu all over the sides of highways, completely engulfing trees and bushes and anything in sight. Kudzu. And of course, the tree of heaven was planted by the highway departments and the Department of Agriculture to be a great shade tree, a great ornamental tree, and a great tree to plant along highways and be beautiful. Another introduction of the tree of heaven happened in the mid-1800s when during the Gold Rush area, many different Chinese immigrant workers during that era wanted to bring along something from their homelands. You know, they're kind of homesick, so they brought the tree of heaven from China to California. Now, the Chinese workers and their families used both the bark and the fruit for medicine, and as a reminder of their homeland back in China. Since homes did not have air conditioning back in the early 1900s, many, many folks planted fast-growing shade trees around their houses, you know, like water maples and tree of heaven. And folks, I've seen neighbors in the past, in the past 80 years, a lot of water maples were planted in people's front yards. And the first 20 years or so, they look beautiful. And then they get overwhelmingly big and they start to get brittle. And the big thing is they get these real big roots right there at the surface, and they break a lot of sidewalks and a lot of driveways and a lot of house foundations. And we just didn't know. We just wanted a nice, fast-growing shade tree, and that's what we got, was a fast-growing tree of heaven or a fast-growing water maple. They grew really, really fast, and they shaded people's homes, and they cooled those houses down. But then homeowners very quickly found out how much those root systems would damage sidewalks and their houses. Plus, they spread so quickly and just all over the place. It wasn't exactly what they were looking for. There ends up being 5 states in the whole United States that don't have any recorded happenings of the Tree of Heaven. States such as Minnesota and Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, and North Dakota. Those 5 states, Minnesota, Montana, Wyoming, and South Dakota and North Dakota, have no Tree of Heaven. So it's interesting how nature always somehow finds a balance, even in the presence of invasive species. But efforts are now being made by the United States agencies to actually control a lot of these invasive species, such as the Tree of Heaven spread, and to actually try to restore a lot of the native ecosystems. So conservation organizations and land managers are actively involved in identifying and the removing of Tree of Heaven populations, but they also work towards replanting native species to restore biodiversity in the affected areas. You know, as we explore the Tree of Heaven story, it's really crucial to remember the importance of responsible gardening and landscaping practices by selecting native plants and avoiding the planting of invasive species like the Tree of Heaven, we can contribute to the preservation of our natural habitats. So, let's talk about what the Tree of Heaven actually looks like. The Tree of Heaven has kind of a slightly pale gray, really rough bark with almost like a reptile-like skin on the older tree bark. Now, the leaves have these really compound leaves with about somewhere between about 20, 30, or even up to 40 leaflets. And each one of those leaflets are about 4 inches long, or sometimes even longer, up to maybe 4.5 inches long. Then down at the very, very base of each leaf, there's a bump kind of thing that I sometimes call a tooth because of the shape of that little bump. And it kind of looks a little bit like a sumac from a distance, but we'll talk about the differences in just a minute. So we keep talking about this invasiveness, but there are various reasons why the Tree of Heaven is so incredibly invasive. And let's talk about a few of those reasons. These are remarkable, to be honest. The number one, the Tree of Heaven, the seeds themselves, they can germinate in almost any type of soil at all. In fact, I mentioned earlier that you'll find them in the cities a lot of the times where a seed has gotten into a crack in the actual concrete sidewalk or in the pavement of the city. And that seed can actually germinate down in there. They grow in all kinds of pHs of soils, and even they spring up, like I said. It's remarkable. You find them in cities coming up out of concrete. It's just crazy. Now, number two, when these trees get to be around somewhere around about 10 to 20 years old, they begin actually exploding in seed production. They have been known to drop over 300,000 seeds in a single season. Now, this is why botanists say to remove these trees when they are very, very young before they start producing so many seeds. So get rid of them as early as you can. Number three, here's a crazy thing right here. If a tall, tall tree falls over on a Tree of Heaven tree, maybe back in the woods or something, and they breaks that tree trunk, it will just send up many, many sprouts all around in that area in that same season. So let's say a human wants to get rid of a tree in their backyard. So the human uses a chainsaw and cuts down one of these Trees of Heaven without removing the tree stump. Then the same thing happens as many, many sprouts start coming up out of the stump. So you have got to get rid of that tree stump, whether you grind it down and then continue to work on the sprouts that might come out of even that. Maybe you burn it, you know, come back and burn it again. They're really, really, really hard to get rid of. So number four, let's say like white-tailed deer, they munch on about anything in the woods, right? So when white-tailed deer bite into the leaves of this Tree of Heaven, they real quickly find out that this tree is not something that they want to eat. And they quickly learn, real quick, never to eat this tree again. So that's a bad thing, right? Even deer aren't going to eat this tree. Number five, the Tree of Heaven learns real quick, or it doesn't actually learn, but it will leaf out much earlier in the spring than most of the other trees. So it is generating energy before the taller trees even leaf out. So it also hangs on to its leaves even longer to capture more of the growing season. So it gets a lot of growth before the other trees start to grow in the spring. And then as they drop its leaves, their leaves, the Tree of Heaven's hanging on to its leaves even longer. It's remarkable the adaptations that this Tree of Heaven has come up with over the many, many, many years to be able to adapt and to hang around. So many, many years ago, and I really don't remember, I'm going to guess maybe 30 years ago, I will never forget the first time I remember the first time that I saw a tree of heaven. I'm sure I saw them. I just recognized this tree as being something different. And I grabbed a tree book, started looking it up. And I remember coming out of the woods and finding one of my uncles and telling him, hey, I just found this really, really cool tree. And it's called the Tree of Heaven. What do you know about this? And we talked about it for a while. First time I can remember, and I just remember grabbing a tree identification book that I had and looking it up. I noticed that that tree, it looked very similar to like sumac trees, right? Sumac. And the bark looks a little bit different, but the leaves are very similar, at least at first glance. Now, I can remember looking the tree up in that tree identification book that day, and I was shocked that I'd never heard of this tree before. I thought, man, this thing is absolutely beautiful. I love it. Well, in all reality, it's not as difficult to distinguish between two of these trees, like sumac and the tree of heaven. The leaves of the sumac are actually serrated. So if you go look around the edges, it looks kind of saw blade, you know, kind of serrated. And the sumac is a tree that grows out on the edges of the woods as well. But it doesn't get more than like maybe 15, 20, maybe it'll get 40 feet if you see a big one, 30, 40 feet. But most of the times the ones I see, 15, 20 feet. But the tree of heaven gets almost twice as tall. They get huge. The leaves of a sumac have a leaflet at the very end of the leaves where the tree of heaven does not have that extra leaflet on the very, very end. And sumac has that very classic fruit structure we probably all have seen. It's a bright red in color and very different from the tree of heaven. Both trees have pinnately compound leaves with multiple leaflets along this long single stem. And sumac leaflets are, like we talked about, they're very serrated, kind of rough, right? And leaves with jagged edges, while the Tree of Heaven's leaflets, they have very smooth edges and not serrated at all. Here's another one that you can use to distinguish these trees. You can also crush a leaf of the Tree of Heaven, and there is this really very pungent odor. And I don't know exactly how to describe it. It's just a very pungent odor. But as you crush the sumac leaf, it smells kind of like a greenish vegetable type smell, but not very pungent. So, folks, I will wrap up today by saying that, yes, the Tree of Heaven is a beautiful, bright green, gorgeous colored shade tree. And you might be very, very tempted to have one of these in your backyard. And they are. I love them, and I would love to have one in my backyard. I really do love the look of these beautiful, beautiful trees of heaven. But just remember that it can propagate quite a bit and really fast, and you will really have to watch this tree. Preferably, you might switch to a native shade tree to plant instead. If you have some of these trees and you are trying to get rid of them, remember, if you cut it down, it's going to shoot out many, many sprouts from the trunk. You will have to be much, much, much more aggressive than just simply cutting the tree down. You will need to probably grind the stump down and maybe even burn the stump, whatever's left of the stump. I did that with a tree in the backyard this summer. Folks, that brings us to the end of today's episode on the Tree of Heaven, and I hope you've enjoyed this journey into the world of this remarkable tree, the Tree of Heaven. Join us next time as we uncover more captivating stories from the natural world. Thanks for listening to my podcast yet again tonight. And as always, I sincerely appreciate all of your downloading and listening to the Amateur Naturalist Podcast. Hey, good night, everyone. Hey, everyone. Tommy Fowler here. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? I know I did, and I wasn't for sure exactly how to make a podcast or how to market it. And that is where Buzzsprout came in. Maybe you want a new fun hobby, or you just want to have a new side hustle to make a little bit of money. So far, it's been a super fun hobby to me. Personally, I did a lot of research looking for a podcast host site, and Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and even track the success of your own podcast. Hey guys, I only started in mid-August 2022, and already I am listened to in over 100 countries around the world. I am currently listened to on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and 18 other popular podcast sites. Now that is what Buzzsprout can help you do as well. Hey, you can start your own podcast with just a smartphone, your earphones, and your stories. You don't need a bunch of fancy equipment to start off. Hey, folks, let me get you started. Go to my podcast show notes. You're going to see my podcast website link and maybe one or two advertiser links. Look for the Buzzsprout link. Now, click on that link to go to Buzzsprout, and you are going to get a $20 credit if you sign up today for a paid plan. Plus, it helps me out to keep my podcast on the air, and I might be able to finally update some equipment. By joining today through the link down in my show notes, you're going to get a great-looking podcast website, awesome audio players that you can drop in other websites, and fantastic analytics to see just how you are performing worldwide. Join today. Over 100,000 podcasters and myself already using Buzzsprout, and get your awesome message out to the world. Hey, don't forget, it's totally free to start off with Buzzsprout in the beginning, and it does not cost much to join their first paid plan. And if you join today and you sign up for an inexpensive paid plan by clicking on the link inside of my show notes, you're going to get $20 off, and you'll help me out a little bit at the Amateur Naturalist Podcast. Thanks, folks.